As we look across the pond at racing jurisdictions like France and Sweden, we see that they're thriving, and we ask ourselves, what do they have that we don't? Well, perhaps a national wager. A gentleman who wrote on this issue is on the other end of my line, and I am so honored to have him with us on Trot Radio. A Hall of Fame journalist covering both breeds. His writings include the Daily Racing Form. Former track announcer, a real pleasure to have Stan Bergstein with us. Stan, welcome to Trot Radio.
Well, thanks very much. I enjoyed being with you.
Now, we see the great success of the V75, and you wrote about this in one of your previous letters. I guess the question is, in a country like the United States, why hasn't this sort of thing been taken up sooner?
The answer to that question is a vexing one, and it's been bothering me for a long while. I first went to Sweden, Norman, 1968, was that 42 years ago now, with USTA's great photographer George Smallsreed, my closest friend at the time, and deeply missed. While I was there, I came to admire their parimutuel administration and their national pools, both in France and in Sweden. And I've been frustrated ever since by the attitude in the United States that it can't be done.
Here's my question. Why not? Why couldn't it be done?
Well, I can't accept that it can't be done. That's the attitude and the reaction I get from my tracks. Because of state administration, state regulations that vary and differ from state to state, and despite the designation that we've always had, happily, of United States, but we're not really united in things like racing commission administration of rules and regulations. I think it can be done, and I'm not going to quit until they carry me out of trying to get it done.
Well, you know, I mean, let's face it, a pick six or a pick seven is a pick seven. To me, and I'm not trying to oversimplify, but all you'd need to do is just coordinate it among, say, whichever tracks are involved.
I've made several efforts to do that. And some of the key tracks that I've involved or try to get involved have taken a fairly nonchalant attitude. They seem to think that the difficulties are too overwhelming, the rules are too overwhelming, the barriers are too overwhelming. And of course, I don't buy that at all. I realize that we're not Sweden and we're not France, but I still believe that a concerted effort, a greater concerted effort than we've made so far, could enable us to have multiple linked pools. The lotteries, of course, are doing it now with their mega lotteries, and obviously with their $200 million payoffs. I don't expect any $200 million payoffs, but I also don't expect $550, $330, and $220 to draw anybody or be very attractive. We have to reach out the great body of people who currently are not horse players, but I think that there's a great, huge potential customer base out there that is currently being ignored and currently can't be attracted by the present efforts toward betting and toward educating people toward betting. And I think the easiest way to do that would be with an interstate pool or an interprovincial pool of some type that would enable people to see a big pot of gold and go for it.
It'd be very enticing to somebody who goes to the 7-Eleven to fill up their car, buys their Powerball lottery ticket, and decides to take a flyer on a quick pick on that particular wager. Why not?
I agree totally, of course, and I get dismayed. I was happy this week, or just a few last few days, to see Darrell Kaplan down at the USTA. I think that anything we can do to bring Standard Bred Canada and the USTA closer together, for one thing, is a good thing. And I think anything we can do to foster international promotion and marketing is a good thing. I think it was a very good idea. I think it was productive. And according to all the reports, I was not there, but according to all the reports I've seen, he was warmly received, and his ideas were accepted readily.
It's interesting you had Darrell down, because as we speak, Darrell has been working, along with a number of other people on this side of the border, to try and lay the groundwork to create such a type of V-75, let's say, for Canada. So, you know, if the guys in the States are saying, oh, there's too much regulation, look, Canada, in the view of many, is one of the most regulated countries in the world, and it appears that, you know, we're on our way to hopefully seeing that come to fruition.
But I think where we're missing the boat, and everyone in racing, not just here, is missing the boat, is taking advantage of a bad situation. The bad situation, of course, being the economic situation everywhere. Because of the economic crisis, it seems to me that racing commissions, whether state racing commissions or provincial racing commissions, would be, at the present time, more acceptable and more willing to consider bending the rules, if you want to put it that way, but all I'm considering is amending rules or waiving rules in order to try and improve racing's situation. If there's ever a time when we're going to be able to get the regulators to agree to yield a little bit and be a little bit softer on some of their mandates, I think the time is right now. And I think that if we don't follow that up and if we don't pursue that course, we're missing a huge opportunity.
Just to shift gears for a moment, in your recent piece in the Daily Racing Forum, you talked about the fact that Harness Tracks of America and the Thoroughbred Equivalent Association have decided to part ways in their, let's
say,
their
synergies. They didn't decide on my part, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
I was happy to get that thing going 6 years ago. I thought it was one of the more positive measures that had been taken. And I was greatly grieved, as a matter of fact, when I learned that TRA didn't choose to continue that relationship. I think it's a mistake, obviously, on their part. I think it's a sad happening for racing, and it's not a happy event for me.
What reasons did TRA give?
I think that the case was economic also. I talked to Chris Scherf, who's their executive vice president, about it. And they decided, for whatever reason, they want to have some regional meetings. Although we had cut their costs down considerably by the joint meetings, apparently they still feel they have to cut the costs down more.
You alluded to, in your column on that subject, the notion that perhaps part of the motivation may go back to the old thoroughbred, and I've got to be careful how I say this because I work at both ends of the breeds, snobbishness?
Well, I've used the word, and I've used worse words, too. But there's that attitude of superiority. The thoroughbred people consider themselves, and possibly correctly, consider themselves elite. The very name thoroughbred is why I have always campaigned against the term standardbred.
Right.
Because thoroughbred denotes and designates fineness, elegantness, eliteness, and standard. The word standard means just that. It means that you're just standard. You're not above anything. It's always bothered me. I don't use the term. I either use harness racing or trotting or pacing.
I like that. Of course, that wasn't the intent of the founding fathers of our sport, as we know, but you're right. It's taken on a different connotation. Working together would appear to be the key, and let me tell you, it's been a real honor to have you on with us, Stan Bergstein.
I have one more. I appreciate that, Greg. No, I have one more.
Please.
Complaint to register.
Please.
And that's the use by publicists of the term aged or aged for older horses. What they are is just that, older horses. And aged or aging denotes, and I know it full well, denotes weakness or lagging in whatever.
I prefer to see it in reference to cheese, to be quite honest with you, or a good bottle of wine. Stan Bergstein, once again, thank you so much for being on Trot Radio. Real honor.
It's been my great pleasure. Thanks, Norm.
Bye-bye.